Good morning, you guys. How you doing? If anyone questions whether you love Jesus, you tell them 11 a.m. February 1st, 25 degrees, 14 degree wind chill, you came to church. Give yourselves a hand. Well done. Now, you don't love them as much as our 915 people, but you still love Jesus. Oh, so glad you guys are here. You know, it's funny, this morning I walked in, and this is how cold it is. Drew was up here, they were doing their run-throughs in the morning, and he's like, Kevin, I don't think the heat's turned on in here. Can you get a hold of Windermere Prep? So I text the Windermere Prep guy that manages the facility, and he texts me back. He says, hey, just so you know, the furnace is not built to handle this kind of temperature. It's going to be cold this morning. It can't keep up. So sorry you're cold. Glad you're bundled up. I love seeing the hats, too, right here. They got the little beanie hats. I love it. We've got a really great day for you today. We're finishing up our series called Breakthrough, and we started the year with this series because we are really believing God for a breakthrough for you this year. We're believing that for you. We're believing that you're going to have a breakthrough this year. I hope you're believing the same thing, that this year there will be a breakthrough in your life that will take you to a different place. That's what breakthroughs do. They take us to new levels, new places, places we haven't been yet. And so today we're talking about a breakthrough spiritually. Breakthrough spiritually. So I want to start with a question. It's simple, slightly dangerous, but how are you doing? How are you doing? And don't give everyone's default answer. Good. Blessed. Too blessed to be stressed. Fine. Fine. Because fine is a word that people use when they don't want to talk about what's really going on. And so I bet there are some of you right now that like if you were really honest about how you're doing, you'd be like, fine. If I asked you how you were doing spiritually, you'd have the same answer. Fine. You're not on fire for God. You're not cold towards him. I mean, you're here. But you're just fine spiritually. And there's a fine that looks totally normal, but it's spiritually deadly. It's the kind of fine where the bills are paid, the schedule's full, the kids are in sports, the job is moving, the marriage is functioning, but your soul is malnourished, and you feel it, you know it, and you're not necessarily inclined to do anything about it because you're fine, and you're okay being fine. Well, there's a term you find in the Bible for being fine spiritually. You find it in the book of Revelation. Jesus is talking, and he just says that word is lukewarm. And he's talking to a group of people that they're neither hot nor cold in their faith. They're just fine. And he says, you're rich, you're comfortable, and you think you don't need a thing. You think you're fine. But in reality, you are poor and wretched and pitiful and blind and naked. And Jesus says, and I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And it's like, ouch, Jesus. Like we were feeling good about ourselves. Why are you all up in our business? Well, if you're not a Christian here today and you're checking out the God thing, I hope that you'll understand today what's available to you and what you can do to actually wake up and be alive spiritually if you were to step across the line of faith. That's what I hope you hear today, and that you understand how to grow in your faith in God. I've been praying for you. If you're online watching and you haven't stepped across the line of faith, you're just kind of skirting around the God thing, or you just feel drawn to it but you don't understand it, or you just haven't made that decision, like my prayer for you is that you would have a breakthrough this year, maybe even today, that there would be a spiritual breakthrough in your life. You'll step across the line of faith. But for those of you that have stepped across the line of faith, I think regularly we need reminders and encouragement to keep pressing into our faith. Because too many of us were just fine spiritually. Yeah, in John 10:10, Jesus says, look, I didn't come to give you a fine life. I came to give you an abundant life. Look at this verse on the screen. It's like, look, Satan, his agenda, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, look, I came to give them life, and not a fine life, a life that is abundant. Like Jesus' objective is not to keep you out of hell, but to put the joy of heaven in you. And some of us have never experienced that in the Christian life. Like you have your hell insurance, right? You're like, you know where you're going when you die, but you haven't yet found an abundant life in Jesus. That's why your Christian life lacks joy, true joy. That's why you don't love worship. That's why we can sit in here and we can sing songs that are beautiful, that move you, and that point us vertically, and you're standing there, you're observing, not participating. And there's just nothing there. It's why you don't love your time with God. It's why you don't get up and read your Bible. It's why, honestly, maybe you don't even like the Christian life, but you just don't want to go to hell. So you put up with the Christian life. And I'll just tell you, if you're going to do this Christian thing, don't dive into what you're saved from. Dive into what you're saved to. You are saved to a life that is full of all of the fruits of the Spirit. It's an abundant life this side of heaven. Charles Spurgeon, he's one of the great theologians of the 19th century, one of the preachers. And he said this, he used to say this all the time. He says, there's nobody more miserable than the half-committed Christian. Nobody more miserable than the half-committed Christian, because you're just enough into Jesus that you're miserable in the world. And you're just enough in the world that you're miserable in Jesus. If you're going to be saved 100%. Not partially. You need to choose where you want to be. Do you want to be in Egypt or in the promised land? Where you want to live? Whatever you choose, go all the way. That's what today is about. Some of you in this room, you're listening online, you are stuck spiritually. If you're honest, you're just fine. You haven't seen true spiritual growth in months, years, maybe never. You need a breakthrough spiritually. That's what today is, because you've settled for fine. You're just going through the motions. You've settled for a version of life that works instead of a life that's full. You've settled for success on the outside, but you're starving on the inside. That's the gap that a lot of us feel. It's the tension that we feel, because you can be busy, successful, and comfortable and be spiritually empty. So here's our bottom line for the day. Breakthrough happens when you stop settling for fine and you pursue the fullness of God that He is ready and willing to pour into your life. What does God want for you? Life to the full. He wants for you to have the kind of life that only He can give you. He's the only one that can give it to you. It's full of the fruits of the Spirit of God. It is a life that is full of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control today. These are not things to like someday aspire to. According to Jesus, you can have that today. Do you have that? Is your life full of every single one of those? Because the starting point, if you can't say that your life is full of all of the fruits of the Spirit, everything I just named in abundant ways, the starting point of spiritual breakthrough has to be paired with a decision that just says, I refuse to stay where I've been. I refuse. I won't stay where I've been, because where I've been is just fine and I'm doing nobody any good. I'm neither hot nor cold. I'm lukewarm. I think I'm doing okay, but really, if I'm ultimately honest, I'm not. And this is where we just kind of get a little bit honest and go, hey, I'm stuck. I haven't felt anything deep in my soul from God in a long time. And so it's time for you to start partnering with God and pursuing life to the full in Christ. This is not New Year's resolution style where it's like, you know, it's here today, gone tomorrow. This is like about choosing to live in the blessings of God long term. So because I believe and I've been praying and we've been believing that God is going to speak to each one of you this morning, I want to stop and pray and just invite God to help us open up our hearts and our minds. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the cold weather, even though we hate it. It's only for a couple days. We'll put up with it because you gave it to us, so therefore it must be good somehow. But God, more importantly than that is I just invite you into this room in such a way that you are speaking to each one of us individually, truth that we need to hear. Lord, you want to talk to us every day. Would you help us not let this morning pass by without hearing your voice? So God, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts to your Holy Spirit. And God, would you speak words that are for us that only we can hear and understand, but they are to help us push through to that next level of breakthrough spiritually. In your holy name, amen. All right, so I want to talk about three areas of spiritual breakthrough. I believe all of us will fall into one of these three areas that God will speak to you this morning and show you, hey, this area is for you. You need to really look into this area because this is the area where you're going to find breakthrough this year. Maybe you are like wanting to get to that next level and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. My prayer, and I believe that you will know what to do after this morning if you want to begin to see spiritual growth happen in you. That breakthrough. And here's the three areas of spiritual breakthrough. There are breakthrough in spiritual maturity, there are breakthrough in spiritual depth, or a breakthrough in spiritual fullness. So we're going to talk about all three of those. Let's jump into the first one, spiritual maturity. Some of you are not experiencing the abundant life in Jesus because you are flat out spiritually immature. You're just a baby spiritually. Because most people, they hear spiritual maturity, this is what we think. We think, well, I know a lot of Bible stuff. I've been a Christian a long time. I don't cuss as much as I used to. I own a study Bible with all the fancy tabs. I've gone to church for a long time. Therefore, I must be mature, right? I mean, I'm doing all this stuff. I must be mature. Well, spiritual maturity isn't about more information. It's not about spiritual appearances. It's not religious performance. It's not checking off a checklist of spiritual activity in our lives. And I'll just say this, and you might disagree with me, but spiritual maturity has very little to do with how much you know. Just because you know more doesn't make you more spiritually mature. Spiritual maturity has a lot to do, almost all to do, with how much you have applied and are living out what you do know of God's word. How much is being applied to how you're living, how God says to live your life, and how quickly between the time you hear from God what to do and you obey him. Here's a definition of spiritual maturity. I hope you remember it the rest of your life. Spiritual maturity equals the speed of obedience. That's spiritual maturity. It's not knowing more, it's obeying faster. That's spiritual maturity. Some of you are stuck in your spiritual growth because you know the right thing to do and you aren't doing it. You're not willing. You're growing spiritually because you have sin in your life. You know you shouldn't be doing it, but you keep it there. You haven't addressed it. You haven't confessed it. You have hidden it. You haven't decided that you are done with it enough to actually make a change. It's like a pet that you just keep around. You just like it. It makes you comfortable. And that sin is destroying you and holding you back. Others of you, God's been inviting you and asking you to do something with him or for him, and you just keep putting it off. You haven't yet decided to do it. Well, the writer of Hebrews, he's writing to a group of followers of Jesus who have just been stuck in spiritual immaturity. And he says this, maybe this is you. Hebrews 5, verse 12. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Is that you? You've been a believer so long, you should be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and can't eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Us right here, you're like a baby. You can't eat solid food because you haven't yet chosen to do what's right. What you know is right. And let me just tell you, you don't drift into spiritual maturity. You decide your way into it. You want to grow and grow deeper in your walk with God and become a mature follower of Jesus? Decide to. So let me ask you a question. Is there anything right now that you know is the right thing to do and you're not doing it? This is just between you and God. Is there anything in your life right now that you know is the right thing to do and you're not doing it? Is there sin in your life? Sin, simple, choosing your own way over God's way. Is there anything? Or is there something you know God's asking you to do and you're not doing it? See, some of us, we don't need a new sermon. We need a faster yes. A new sermon is going to do nothing for you till you get a faster yes. You don't need another Bible study. You need to do the last thing God told you to do. That's all you need to do. Immature faith says, God, I'll obey when I understand everything. I need more knowledge. I need to understand more. Or I'll obey when what you're asking me to do lines up better with what I want to do. Right? Like, that's what a lot of us are. We're like, oh, God, please ask me to do something I want to do. Can I just tell you, God will rarely ask you to do something you want to do. He's usually asked you to do something that's kind of tough. That's why it's a faith. Mature faith says, God, I'll obey you because you're trustworthy. I'll do what you're asking me to do because I trust you more than anything else. That's a mature faith. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, he speaks into what this looks like. Ephesians 4:22. Throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes and put on your new nature. Make a decision to put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Well, what does that look like? And this is what I love about Scripture. It's the lists. Verse 25 says, put on your new nature, created to be like God. So stop telling lies. Stop it. Make a decision to stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we're all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're angry. Keep short accounts. Anger gives the devil a foothold. If you're a thief, quit stealing. So darn practical, right? Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to other people in language. I'll just tell you, some of you need to get control of your tongue. You know, you can ask God to do that and he'll help you. He will help you get control of your tongue. Because some of you, I'm like, you talk a certain way here in church or when you're talking to the pastor, there's a whole other way you talk. All you're all anyone needs to do is listen to the words that come out of your mouth and they know right where your heart's at. Not where you think it's at or where you want people to believe it's at, right where it's at. And so some of you need to just go, hey, I got to get this under control. How do you do that? God help, please. Oh, he loves answering that prayer. 16 years old, I accepted Jesus around 15, 16, talk like a sailor, realized this passage of scripture said, hey, don't do that. And I'm like, God, I don't know how to bleep and stop. 2 weeks, gone. They don't even show up when I stub my God answers prayers when we ask him to help us do what he's asking us to do. Let everything that you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. For some of you, spiritual breakthrough is a decision away from you to obey God. It is a sin. It is as simple as with God's help, stop doing what's wrong and start doing what's right. Get some accountability. When I have run into sins I couldn't overcome, inviting some friends that love me and love God into that sin is how I have found breakthrough. And I'll just be totally transparent, really transparent here. I brought a pornography addiction that started when I was 12 to 13 years old into my marriage at 24 years old. I thought getting married would get rid of the problem. It didn't. No matter how hard I tried, I heard God telling me to stop. I heard God tell me, hey, this is not good for your marriage, not good for your soul, not good for anything. And I tried. And finally, I felt like God was saying, hey, you need to let somebody else in. You're not going to do this by yourself. Jerry Foster, one of my best friends at the time. Hey, we need to talk. I don't know how to say this, but hear it all is. Through a whole lot of tears, I just invited him in. The beginning of breakthrough. The beginning of breakthrough was still a journey, but it was the starting point where breakthrough started to show up as something that I could get beyond this sin that had held me back for so long. You can have victory. God gives you the power of victory over sin. Just sometimes you need some people with you in it if you're going to get to that next step. Some of you are missing the abundant life because you're waiting for the big calling. I'm waiting for God to show me the big thing. What's he want me to do? And really, you're missing all the small commands, all the small steps of obedience that get you to the big calling. You're not going to get the big calling right away. You're going to small steps of obedience over time to where God's like, now you're ready for the big calling. And here's what obedience sounds like. It's like God telling you, hey, apologize. That's your step of obedience. Would you just have a little humility and apologize? Or tell the truth. That's your step of obedience. God's just saying, hey, tell the truth. Delete the app. Call your dad. Stop flirting. Start praying with your kids. Be generous. Join the group. Join the group. Get help. Invest deeply in your marriage. Spiritual maturity is when God nudges you and you don't negotiate. That's spiritual maturity. It's when God convicts you, you don't just manage the sin. You step into it and you do something about it. God prompts you and you don't delay. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. It's just wearing better clothes. It's just dressed up disobedience so we feel a little better about it. It's easier to ignore him the next time. Is there anything in your life right now that you know is the right thing to do and you aren't doing it? It could be a sin issue, or it could be being obedient by witnessing to a friend and telling them that you actually know Jesus, leading a ministry, joining a huddle, getting baptized, stepping across the line of faith, and you're just delaying or you're refusing to do it. That is your area of breakthrough. Maturity is formed when like obedience becomes your reflex. And starts to feel less like white knuckle effort and more like who you are becoming. You're becoming that. You're not just doing Christian things. You're being formed into a Christ-like person. All right, maybe that's your area of breakthrough. Let's talk about our second area of breakthrough. I'm sorry it is so quiet in here. I know I'm meddling in your life, okay? I love doing that. That's what God's called me to do, is meddle in your life, because he's meddling in mine, trust me, all the time. Second area of breakthrough is spiritual depth, a breakthrough in spiritual depth. Maybe you don't have any big sin issues right now. You're like, hey, I got most of those wiped out. You're being as obedient as you know how, but you are still stuck. You're not spiritually immature, but, and this is not a knock on you, you're just spiritually shallow. You're spiritually shallow. You aren't growing spiritual roots. And what I'm getting at is spiritual disciplines. This is about the small things done consistently over time that grow and deepen our faith. Colossians 2, verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. It's a continual process. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. It's a continual process of roots growing deep and building a foundation on Jesus. Some of you are Christians and you have no roots that have broken the surface and grown down to anchor you in Christ. And I'll just tell you, roots don't happen overnight. They take time. You got to keep watering them and nurturing them, and then they will grow deep. Now, on our property, of 15 acres over there in Horizon West, we've got a dream of sports on those fields as a way to reach people far from God. Well, we already have fields. We already have 4 acres of Bermuda turf grass planted. It is golf course grass. It is amazing. You should come out and frolic in the grass with me. It's super fun. Like the grass, like you can lay on. It's a soft, nice grass. So here's the deal. Because I have been a part of all 4 acres being planted, I have kind of become a grass nerd. And a semi-professional, like whatever you call people that like plant grass and grow it. Okay, whatever that is, arborist. No, that's like a tree person. Whatever. I love it. I got so into it, and so I'm going to tell you maybe a little more information that you want to know. But I think this is fascinating. How we planted all the grass out there. We got 4 acres. It's beautiful. It's green right now, even though it's freezing. You know how you do sod. Sod is super expensive. To sod 2 acres of ground, back when we started, it would have been around $80,000 to $100,000. I'm not paying that to do sod. I like go out there and make grass myself. I don't know. I'm not going to pay that much. So, but I found a way to do it for about $7,000 for 2 acres. They take these big rolls of Bermuda grass sod that they put on golf courses. There's a machine that just shakes it up so much that little clumps of grass fall onto this conveyor. This conveyor drops it all on the ground, and then these discs come by behind it and push those pieces of grass down into the ground. And then you water it every day, every night for like months, by the way. But after about 2 weeks, the grass, which is a little brown, kind of starts turning a little green. You're like, hey, I think we got a little action going on the ground there. It's kind of cool. You're kind of watching it. And I'm telling you, I have watched grass grow. It takes a while. So 2 weeks, you kind of start seeing it green up. 2 months in, what happens is those little clumps of grass, they get into the soil, they kind of grab a little bit of soil, and then they start growing sideways. 2 months in, you have what looks like a perfect lawn. It is gorgeous. It is like, oh my gosh, let's go play on it. But you can't, because 2 months in, the roots are like an inch deep. If you go out and you play on that grass, you'll just rip it up. But you keep watering it, you keep nurturing it. Like 4 to 5 months in, those roots are like 4 or 5 inches deep. Like they're starting to take hold. That grass is getting thick. And if you wait a year, so I've been out fixing sprinkler heads or pipes that have burst underground. I've been out and I have dug down to get to those pipes. There are roots of grass 12 to 14 inches down after a year. It's amazing. I'm like, sorry, you come out, I'll show you, I'll tell you everything. We'll talk hours about grass. But here's the deal. Some of you are stuck spiritually because you haven't put in the effort and the consistency in your walk with God. You haven't been willing to do the daily, the weekly, the moment-by-moment work to get to the next level with Him. And spiritual growth is only going to happen if you deepen your roots. How are you going to deepen your roots? It's this word. It's time. It's just time. It takes time to deepen your roots. It doesn't happen overnight. You're not going to grow foot deep roots in a day. It's months. It's years of journeying with God. A little time with God daily beats a whole lot of time with God occasionally. And I know this sounds simple, but we need to hear it, because some of you need to create space in your life to connect with God on a daily basis. You are lukewarm. You are going nowhere spiritually. And your breakthrough is because you're going to put into place some consistent, daily, regular, intentional connection with your Heavenly Father over a significant length of time. I said it already. Roots don't grow fast, but if you're consistent over time, they grow deep and they grow strong. So let's get really practical. I'm just going to get practical with you. How do we nurture and grow and water spiritual roots? This is for some of you. Some of you are going to go, I already got that nailed down. Others of you are like, oh, I need to do that. It starts with God's word. You need time in God's word. It takes time to unlock the mystery and the wisdom of God's word. A verse a day may keep the devil away, okay? But a chapter a day, you can start growing some real roots. 5 minutes a day with God is okay, but you're not going to get too deep with 5 minutes a day. What would it look like for you to wake up 15, 20 minutes earlier than normal just to carve out time in God's word every single morning? And I'll just tell you, the people that I know that have deep roots, like I'm in conversation with them and I'm like, oh man, they've got some spiritual depth to them. Like, oh, there's wisdom. Like, man, they know Jesus. Almost 100% of the time, the more we talk, and we talk about the habits that they have and the things that they've done to grow, it almost always comes back to they spend regular daily time with God in His word, and it's not a little time. And it's like, oh, that's where that comes from. That's where that maturity comes from. It's you're just in God's word. And what you find is as you get into God's word, it's kind of like a tumbleweed. The more you're in it, the more you want. The more you spend time in God's word, the more time you want, because you're learning things. God's speaking to you. He's opened up your mind and heart. Let me just tell you, if you can't remember the last time you've been in God's word, I will guarantee you that you're sitting here going, yep, I am stale, stagnant, stuck spiritually, because you can't grow without it. Second one is prayer. How much time do you truly spend talking to God, giving Him quality time? And I'm talking not the, oh, God, help me, I'm going to this meeting. It's going to be a tough one. Hey, I'm talking about the kind of prayers where you just sit and you talk. You share. You open up. When I was in college, I had a roommate named Bo McCarthy, and we both wanted to grow spiritually. It was kind of cool. I had a roommate that just wanted to grow deeper in his walk with God. And so We were both leaders in the student ministries there, and we decided that we wanted to really up our prayer game. And so we decided that we were going to, whoever had to leave earlier, we would wake up a half hour earlier than the time they had to leave, and we would spend that time in prayer together for a year. We would wake up a half hour before the earliest person had to leave, and we would just pray together. And I'm telling you, God started doing work in our hearts in ways that we didn't know he could. It was so much fruit from that prayer time. Starting our day with intentional time with God, talking to our Heavenly Father, made a difference in how we saw the day. Because we would pray for things that were important to us. We'd pray for people that we loved. We'd pray for the ministry that we led. We would pray for each other. And what was fascinating is we started seeing God answering the prayers that we were praying for each other. Like, we were able to track because we were praying so consistently that we're like, oh my gosh, Bo, this happened. Do you realize we prayed for that like a month ago? And we'd be like, oh, God answered prayer. One of the things we were praying for, I'm not joking, one of the things is he really wanted to meet a girl and get married. That was what Bo wanted. And so we would pray about that almost every day. Do you know during that year, he met a girl that ended up becoming his wife. They're 29 years in, happily married. And he met her during that year. That's just God's answered prayer. And you're like, well, Kev, it was bound to happen. No, it happened during that year, and God led this godly woman to Bo, and they met, and that was it. It was an answered prayer. It was awesome. It's God's word. It's spending time in prayer. It's worship. Does worshiping God move you in any way? Does your heart soften when we sing on Sundays? Do you feel any movement in your heart? If you don't, that could be an area where you need to seek God for breakthrough. Like when I worship, when we're sitting here and we're worshiping, or I have worship playing on in my car, God just gets into parts of my life and my heart and my soul and my mind that he can't get in any other way. Other than I can just say it's God's, the music that takes my heart and my mind vertical out of the horizontal and takes me vertical, God can just do work. And I'm just sitting here like, worship should move you. And I'll just tell you, I don't know how some of you who say, yeah, I love Jesus, can stand dead still during worship and observe and not participate. I don't know how you do it. I'm telling you, if you've got a connection with God, worship should in some way move you inside, deep inside your soul. And I'm telling you what, I got a worship set list that I play in my car, and it just takes my mind away from the things that I'm struggling with and points me to Jesus, and God just does work, and I connect with him, and it moves me forward spiritually. For some of you, it's going to be studying God's word with other believers. There's a shared experience of growth when we study God's word and we talk about our spiritual lives in groups together. like this is men's and women's Bible studies. We do them every week. We've got and deeper, but you're having spiritual conversations with people that are traveling and journeying with God. There's something powerful when we study God's word together with other people who love Jesus. That could be where you find your breakthrough. Fasting for some of you, it's simple. Fasting is choosing to go without something good, usually food, something else like television or cell phones or social media or news, and fast from news, your life will get better. So you can focus on God in a deeper way. So what do? You pick a fast you can follow through on, skip one meal. Go from sundown to sunup to sundown, and you can eat dinner or do a whole day. Listen to only uplifting and positive things for a week. No news, no negative podcasts, no social media. Do a few days, and during that time that you would normally eat, that you feel hungry, or that you would normally doom scroll, or that you would normally put on the radio in your car and listen to news, what you do is you pray during that time. Those things, when you don't do them, it's a reminder to go, God, I don't need that stuff. I need you. It's a reminder that they're like, I don't need food. God, you're all I need. Eventually you need food, by the way. But like during that day, you don't need food. You just need God. It's just that reminder that he can give you everything that you need. And then the last thing is just listening, creating moments of silence where you're just listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit. When's the last time you gave God time and you pushed past? But you push past that. You just waited. You just waited on God. You're like, do you know God wants to talk to you every single day? When's the last time you gave him time to actually speak and gave him enough time for your heart to settle down and your mind to kind of get clear enough to hear his voice? Do any one of those things consistently over time, not for a week or a month, but for months. Discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. That's what discipleship is, a long obedience in the same direction. And when you do that, you're living out 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8. Instead, train yourself to be godly. You're training yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Love that. Promises benefits in this life. You could be one spiritual discipline away from spiritual breakthrough in your life this year. One spiritual discipline away. So for some of us, it's a breakthrough in maturity. Some of us, it's a breakthrough in depth, growing roots that's going to be your breakthrough. And then lastly, for some of us, our breakthrough is going to be in spiritual fullness. Spiritual fullness. There's this beautiful passage of scripture in the book of Ephesians that is Paul. He's praying for believers. He's praying for us, praying for you. This is what he says. He says in Ephesians 3, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And you won't know it up here. You'll know it here. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power. You will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes only from God. This is about surrender. It's about surrender. Fully surrendering all of your life to Jesus. Can I just tell you, God wants access to you. God wants access to all of you. Spiritual fullness is about giving God access to every single part of you, inviting Jesus into every area. See, a lot of people think surrender, they think, well, if I surrender, God just wants to take something from me. No, in the kingdom of God, surrender is how God finally gets to give you something. It's when you fully surrender, he can actually give you something. That's why I love that phrase. What does he give you? That Christ may dwell, make his home in your hearts. Not to visit, not to rent a room, but to dwell, to reside in you every moment of every single day. He wants full access. He wants to be fully present in every part of your life where you surrender your will to his. It is radical to do that. It is unconditional. It's a daily transfer of ownership. What does it sound like? Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. I have fully surrendered that old life. I have fully surrendered that old person. So it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I believe God is searching throughout the earth for men and women who've got a blank check, no restrictions, submitting every aspect of their life, their time, their talent, their treasures, their future, all of it to his will rather than just parts of it. And I'll just tell you, an unconditional daily transfer of ownership, a surrendering of control of your life to God, God can do more with your surrender than you can do through your control. God can do more through your surrender than you can do through your surrender is different than sacrifice. Like if you think about breakfast, I've always enjoyed this analogy. Hopefully you'll get a chuckle out of it. But I've always loved this analogy. If you think of the difference between surrender and sacrifice. If you think of your breakfast, the chicken makes a sacrifice. Gives you an egg. You have eggs to have for breakfast. The chicken made a sacrifice. But that bacon, that pig surrendered everything. He gave it all so you could have that bacon. Being fully surrendered to God means telling God all that I am, all that I ever hope to be. It's all yours. It's all yours. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That word daily is huge. Surrender isn't a one-time church moment. It's a daily decision. Verse 24, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you will give up your life for my sake, you will save it. This total. There are times in my when I'm praying to God and I realize that I have taken control of parts of my life because I wanted to see something happen, and rather than just trust God, I'm trying to make stuff happen, and I'm the one that's in control. And in those moments when I realize that that's what I've done, it's a surrender moment. And so how I pray in those moments is I just picture God sitting on his throne in heaven, this heavenly Father that loves me. And I just take my life and I just lay it at his feet while he's sitting on the throne, and I just back away and just say, it's all yours. Please do with it as you will. I don't want to be in control. I don't do a good job when I'm in control. I make a mess of everything, but when you're in control, somehow I'm blessed. Somehow I grow deeper. Somehow I experience a fullness that I only experience when you're in control. So God, have it all. Please take it all. I just surrender. So I sometimes, when I'm worshiping, I got both hands up. You know what this is? You know, when you got your hands up, you know what you're saying? You got me. I surrender. This is surrender. Some of you, this needs to be what you do during the last song we sing. And you know what this means? I'm surrendering it all to you, God. It's yours. There's something about raising your hands and saying, God, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm not doing a good job, so please take it all. That's what this means. It's just surrender. It's like when people raise their hands during worship, this is part of it. And sometimes it needs to be every song, the whole time. It's like, God, I just surrender. You just, I'm surrendering this and just giving, giving, giving. But that's what this means. It's what it can mean. It needs to be some of you today. I hope, as we kind of get to the close of the service, is that in one of these three areas, God has shown you where your breakthrough is spiritually. God's shown you. Let me tell you what the difference is between staying where you're at and spiritual breakthrough. One step. It's just a step. Would you be willing to just take one step this morning? That's all it's going to take is just that first step, and God will just meet you right there. And you can start stepping into the life that God is calling you into. That's what I pray. I pray that we're a people of spiritual breakthrough this year. And we're going to start it with giving you some time to sit with God and write some things down. You were given a journal and a pen this morning. It is so important to this moment. If you do not have a journal and a pen in your hands, would you please raise your hand and let our ushers bring you one? Just don't miss the moment. Don't miss the opportunity, because I believe God has been speaking to you while I've been talking. That's the way it works. Hopefully, one of my prayers is that you don't hear a single word that I want you to hear. You only hear what God wants you to hear. It's like, I have nothing for you. God has everything for you. I hope that God has been speaking to you while I've been speaking. And so what I want to encourage you to do is over the next few minutes, the band's going to be playing a song, and it is your time to just connect with God and write down what he's been saying to you. What area is it that God just highlighted for you and said, hey, this is your area of spiritual breakthrough? What's the sin that's holding you back? What's the spiritual discipline that you need to put in place? What do you need to surrender to God and just put your hands up and say, it's yours? Chances are you know. And if you don't know, spend this time praying and going, okay, God, what is it? And I want you to answer this. I want you to answer, what's God saying to you right now today? And what are you going to do about it? Because let me just tell you, it does you no good if you do nothing. It's just a good little sentence you wrote. But if you do something about it, God can meet you there. And that's what we're going to do. I want you to write in. What's the area? Maybe you're immature. Own it. How are you going to start? Being honest about where you're at. Maybe you haven't had a spiritual discipline in your life in a year, years. Which one are you going to start? Commit to it. Do it. What you need to surrender. There's this really cool word that's abide in Scripture. It really just means to stay. And Jesus says, hey, if you will abide in me, if you will stay connected deeply in me, I will stay in you. I will abide in you. My dwelling place will be in you and with you. And every single day, I will help you grow. And so over this next song, I want you to write down what God has said to you and what you're going to do about it. And for some of you, it's going to be in the next 2 weeks when we start talking about next steps. You're going to jump in on those. We have classes that are starting up, Financial Peace University, Soul Care, Huddles, men's and women's Bible studies, opportunities to serve, to lead, to help others in their faith. It's like if it's one of those, write it down. What's God telling you to do? And then after that, I'll come up and kind of close that part of it. And then we're going to spend one last song, just spending time with God. So over the next few minutes, I want to give you a chance to just journal. It's a spiritual breakthrough journal you're starting. Let me pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for just being real with us and opening our hearts to your voice. Lord, I thank you for those that are in the room right now that are ready to take their next step with you, step across the line of faith. And let me just say, while everybody's heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're ready to take that next step with God and step across the line of faith and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus says, look, I'm standing at the door of your heart, I'm knocking, and if you let me in, I'll have a meal with you. There's a relationship that begins, and if you're ready to do that, I just want to encourage you to just pray with me. Just make my words yours and just say, dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. God, I surrender my life to you. And Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, I just pray that we would be responsive to the nudging of your Holy Spirit in these next few moments. Give us the words to write on these pages, Jesus. Give us the words to write of what you're saying to us and what area we need to have breakthrough in. And Lord, show us what to do. Tell us what to do. Give us the right words to write down so that we may be disciples of yours and experience breakthrough this year. In your holy name, amen.